now, you know, studying for them.
For sure.
Yeah, they're still out there. Dave brought his kid to attorney.
Oh, he gave me the name and I put it back away. Yeah, I already signed it.
We threw it with the purse.
I guess people have engagements just on par.
All right, it's 6 o'clock. We'll call the meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Jeff Gentz.
Here.
Ron Frederick.
Here.
Ed Kubicki.
Here.
Monica Juhas.
Here.
Jeff Wamble.
Here.
John Franco.
Here.
Sharon Palmerville.
Here.
John Cargill.
Here.
Carly Lloyd.
Here.
This time we'll open the meeting to citizens' comments. Any citizens wishing to speak? Any citizens wishing to speak? Any citizens wishing to speak? Seeing none, citizens' comments are closed. Thank you. Move on. Reports from the chairman. I do have one report, and that is this is going to be the last finance meeting of us together as a group. And I just want to tell you that the last 2 years of serving with you has been an honor, and I have thoroughly enjoyed it. And I'm going to miss it. So I think you all did a great job. I have the utmost of respect for you and the decisions we made in the job we did, and I appreciate it. Yeah. And our youth and governance were outstanding, probably the two smartest ones I've ever seen, and involved, and I do appreciate it. So just want to let everybody know that it was really a joy with this finance committee. So with that, we'll move on. Reports from the committee. Seeing none, we'll move on to approval of the minutes, March 10th, 2022, open and closed sessions. It's been moved by Supervisor Palmerville, second by Supervisor Juhas. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Those minutes pass unanimously. Number 7, Sheriff's Department. Resolution approving the additional bank account for the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department.
Chair, members of the board, how are you tonight? I'll be real quick. I have them all. I'm doing doing okay. It's been a rough week, but so the first resolution for the bank account is just permission or requesting approval to open that account from Johnson Bake to hold the unclaimed funds from evidence while we attempt to contact the owner or until 2 years after that holding period expires and the funds are transferred to the treasury.
Supervisor Franco, you have the floor.
Yeah, just curious, Captain Miller. Mm-hmm. Up until this point, where have funds been held?
In evidence. So they just have been stuck in evidence, and okay. they're trying to be better about their. You want me to wait?
No, you're fine.
They start over.
But yeah, so they're trying to purge their old evidence to find the owners. Sometimes we have these different items that we destroy or we put off to auction. So the funds, obviously, we have to.
When you say they, who are you referring to?
Joint Services, the evidence, yeah.
Okay. So and this is a legal thing that we need to do now?
Yeah, this is statutory.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Set up a separate account. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions or comments from the committee?
Second.
It's been moved by Supervisor Frederick, seconded by Supervisor Kubicki. So this has nothing to do with any funds we seize or anything like that. This is just what people come in with and then we hold it? Or what
it could be seized funds, but it's very, very unlikely because those have specific owners. This is more like unclaimed or lost unfound, or I should say unclaimed monies that have been found, or inmate property that's left behind. You know, usually we have an owner for that, but they don't come for 2 years to get
and
it.
And this is a statutory thing.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, there's a motion on the floor. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes unanimously. Move on to number 8, resolution approving the Kenosha County Tavern League donation to the chairman of Kenosha County Sheriff's Department K-9 program.
So this resolution is for the acceptance of a donation of the $20,000 from Kenosha County Tavern League. They donated the monies for support of a new canine because canine Riggs will be retired in the early spring. So this is just a help to cover the costs and the upfit of the squad car. And yes, she made a bright point beforehand, and that was a very good catch. You can bring it up because it's your point, so you did a very good job.
Okay, I just didn't know if it was before my time or not, but it does say 2017 budget. Yeah. That's just a typo.
Yeah, we have no excuse for that other than a typo. That is very smart because we already went through judiciary and law and we didn't catch it then. So
that's because we have
you got the bright ones here, so.
Very good catch.
So very good catch.
Supervisor Franco, you had your hand up.
I was going to say the same thing, but I heard it from her earlier, and that's why she had the right to bring it up.
Very good catch. So that will have to be amended. I don't know how that...
I just crossed it out.
Perfect. That's a great amendment, Patty. Approved.
The correct date beyond what goes to the board.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Can I have a motion?
I'll move to approve with the correct date.
Been moved by Supervisor Kubicki.
Do you see me on there?
Seconded by Supervisor Frederick. Further questions or discussion on the item? How many canine units do we have?
Currently we have 3. And then we're going to add, this one that we're going to add is going to be the potential for a power shift. So it's going to cover the end of second shift and the early in the third shift. While Riggs is still in service, and then when he retires, we can kind of figure out what's the best hours for the canine.
Okay, thank you.
Riding along.
With the dog, I love it.
Fred, did you play?
Oh, there you go. Succession plan.
He's going to be trained by Riggs. Yes.
That's their problem. That's not ours.
But that was me.
You obviously didn't catch it.
I know I did.
You think governance was absent? So.
You're right. That's exactly.
He was spot on when he said you guys are really on.
I wasn't just blowing smoke. I really meant it. You guys, great catch. All right.
You never blow smoke.
Oh, never. Okay. Seeing no other questions or comments, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? It passes unanimously. Thank you. We will move on to number 9, resolution approving the 2021. Is that the right date, Pat? 2021?
That's
okay, good. Mm-hmm. I just want to check. I mean, now that we got Homeland Security, whatever that is, their full-scale active shooter exercise grant. Captain Miller.
So on behalf of Lieutenant Staples and Emergency Management, this is a request approving a grant for the $27,754. So it's from Wisconsin Emergency Management, Department of Homeland Security for a full-scale active shooter exercise that will be held at the Bristol Renaissance Fair. So this is 100% funded by the Emergency Management of Wisconsin, and there's no tax levy to it.
Questions or comments? Supervisor Rambo.
I'm just curious from where I come from. Where can you describe for us how that's going to...
You really love me, don't you?
What I'm curious about is I know there's been some things I've been a part of years ago where they actually had some civilians and stuff like that playing parts. Is that what's going to happen?
This is going to be a full-scale event. Yes, they already went through... they've done a lot of the planning meetings, the tabletop exercise. This will be a full-scale... Actors,
nice.
All hands on deck, real live like we did at Parkside.
Makes
I don't
sense.
Know if you recall the one that we did at Parkside, but a full true training event,
nice.
Right? This is
which role are you going to take, John? From that,
we'll tell.
I'm going to have to. I'm going to be the old man wizard or something. Thanks.
We'll tell him after he approves.
<All right. laughs>
Could I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Been moved by Supervisor Juhas, seconded by Supervisor Palmaville.
Oh.
Any further questions or comments on that? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes unanimously. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Okay, now we're looking at number 10, resolution to return property at 410 Sheridan Road to previous owner. What did he sneak in?
I'm in ninja mode.
He's on your right shoulder.
That's scary.
Good evening, supervisors. I'd like to echo something the chairman said. I'm not really allowed to play favorites, but you are by far my favorite finance committee in 2022. So I'd like to thank you all for your hard work and appreciate all your efforts this year. Let's end on a high note with something a little weird, because why not? Attorney Moyer from my office is here because he's done most of the legwork, but I wanted to present the actual resolution / proposal to you. As way of background, this is a commercial property, 410 Sheridan Road, that the county took some time ago by tax deed. When I say we took it by tax deed, I should add to that, this is a property whose taxes have not been current for more than 15 years. They have managed to always stay one step ahead of the actual tax deed, paying just enough to make sure that process got kicked down the road another year, but they've not actually been current, like I say, for more than a decade and a half. We did finally, because they succeeded, that's the right word, in falling behind sufficiently, which is a 3-year period, as you know, the county did take the property by the tax deed process and has owned it now for a year and a half,
February 2020.
So almost, a little bit more than 2 years. When we went to the next step that we usually do in these situations, which is the eviction, in order to get the former owners off the property, they filed a suit, first arguing that we had provided insufficient notice, and then when that argument fell flat at the circuit court level, I think they may have included the second argument as well, but took it to the Court of Appeals with an argument that we were being unduly enriched and that the county should not be able to keep any surplus funds left over after the county sold it and paid off the back taxes and fees, etc. As an aside, in the interest of boring everyone to tears, up until recently, the law on tax deed properties was homestead properties. If a previous owner asked for it, they did have the opportunity to get that surplus after the sales were complete and the various fees and costs and taxes were paid. However, non-homestead properties were not eligible for that. That has recently changed. The law was just signed within the last couple of weeks, was passed in the waning days of this legislative session. Arguably, I think that puts us in a better position from a legal standpoint because it's clear that we were right because they had to change the law in order to achieve the results that they were seeking from the court. However, there's no guarantee what a court would do with this, number one. Number two, it has already been considerable expense in both time and resources in defending our actions. So, just to make this a little bit more interesting, we received a call a couple of months ago from Racine County. The owners of this property are also involved with various negotiations with Racine County in regards to one of the last remaining properties in the Foxconn corridor that Racine and or Mount Pleasant has been trying to acquire in order to finish off that process. And so we were asked whether we could possibly help them along with their process by resolving this matter as well. To that end, in the interest of A, helping out Racine County, B, resolving the litigation that we have going on here, and C, really, I think, in the best interest ultimately of Kenosha County, we are asking for the board's approval to return this property to the prior owner, in exchange for which not only will they make us whole in terms of all of the delinquent taxes, all the taxes that would have been owed for the 2 years that we have owned the property, all of our fees and costs related to both the tax deed process and the litigation we've been going through, they are required to escrow $25,000?
Right.
$25,000, which we estimate is approximately 5 years' worth of taxes moving forward, so that we are not back in the same position in 3 years if they continue to act basically in character and not pay their property taxes when due. So we know that at least for the next 5 years, there will be funds sufficient to get those taxes paid. There are a couple of other adjacent matters that we've negotiated with them, mainly to help out the Village of Summers, where the property is actually located, because they also haven't been, not only have they not been particularly good property owners in terms of paying their taxes, they haven't been particularly good property owners in terms of keeping the property kept up and not an eyesore. I feel like I'm missing one other factor.
There's that sewer and water project. They're going to take care of that instead of the county, because we own it technically.
Yes. Yeah.
All the liquid, that barrels of liquid that we don't know what they are, to be cleaned up and fire code compliant.
And ultimately, it gets it back on the tax rolls, which is where we want it, without us having to go through all the steps we would need to do to prepare and sell it, which, as John was saying, would include this various cleanup measures. So ultimately, we do think it's in the best interest of the county to do this. It is a unique circumstance. We do not believe that this sets any kind of precedent or is a situation that we anticipate we would be bringing before the board again. Really is sort of a one-time situation.
Okay, I think everybody wants to speak. So let's
I can't imagine anyone could have questions about this.
I'm going to start with age and beauty here and work our way around the table. Supervisor Frederick.
This is a mystery property. So we've had it for a year and a half. Obviously, it's not a building.
It's a commercial property, correct?
It is a building.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've had it a year and a half. So what's been going on for that year and a half? Has somebody been running it?
Well, we've owned it, and we've been trying to get an eviction order so that we could take possession of it. No, we don't. That's the whole point. We've been in litigation for 2 years.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So who is it? Who's the property owner?
The property owner is a woman by the name of Opal Jensen.
Okay, and Opal only paid her taxes when she had to until she didn't have. Then she finally ran out the thing. So they're running their business right now?
I don't know.
We're not sure.
I don't know what kind of business it is.
What kind of business was it?
I don't know that we know that.
All I can tell you is in the past they had ice cream trucks, many of them, on the property. They had to be removed.
Okay.
You know the property.
I don't know what the business is. It's very ill-defined.
Mm. Evidently, nobody knows anything, except we can't take it because they took us to court to keep us from taking it, right?
Well, they've been fighting the eviction, yes.
So how much is the back taxes?
Well, the total including costs, fees, interest, $81,557.22.
And they stopped paying interest a year and a half ago when we took it, right?
They stopped paying interest? Yeah.
Well, look.
They
owed us, and we put interest. Now, a year and a half ago, we took the property. So we stopped putting it on the tax roll. So are they going to make up that year and a half?
Yes,
too?
That is part of the agreement.
Are
they going to pay interest on that year and a half too?
No.
I don't think they're paying interest on the year and a half, but they will pay as if they'd owned it that whole time.
I mean, not that I want blood, okay, but what I want to do is try to understand how the hell did we get into this? Okay, I guess that's all the questions I have, but maybe I'll have some when everybody else gets done.
Moving on down the line, anybody else want to speak over here? Supervisor Kubicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, I heard Mr. Carville mention that there are some specials also included, like that we have to cut the grass there in this meantime, anything like that, because I understand the property's been unkept, but I understand getting the taxes back, but it also costs the taxpayers to, you know, clean up the property and getting made whole on that as well.
I think anything we've put into it has been included in the total that we're getting.
We haven't been able to occupy it because they refused to leave when we filed the eviction. That was held in abeyance while they had this other lawsuit contesting the tax deed itself.
Okay.
On notice grounds, which was dropped, and then on equity grounds. So we have not occupied the property at all, and we have not maintained it, but it's a mess. It's been cleaned up to some extent by the owner.
Yeah.
But this agreement is going to require them to clean it up completely.
And also, when you mentioned those barrels, unidentifiable substances or whatever, that to me is subject to a hazard, I would believe. But that's just me, and I'm ultimately more cautious than not, because I've dealt with that kind of
substance
in the past, in my past career. So,
and we would certainly rather that they have to deal with that than we do.
True. But then I don't want that ending up in some ditch somewhere and spilled out into some other place where we don't want it to be either. So it's kind of a catch-22 situation. They're not aware of what it is. You don't know what it is, do you?
I don't know what it is. I went out there several times with Andy Bueller, and I just noted that there were those 40-gallon barrels or whatever. I don't know what's in there. I do know that they were storing lots of vehicles on that lot. That's another concern, because we know that they sometimes leak transmission fluid and other things.
Yeah, I guess leave them to handle it, but at the same token, as long as they handle it in an appropriate manner, and how are we going to figure that out?
And again, I think that's part of the agreement that we're making with them is you know, a commitment on their part that they need to deal with these. And again, we'd really be working with Summers on that, correct?
Right.
You know, I don't ask these questions because I don't want to be a jerk.
I understand.
These questions, I just want answers for what's going on. And I hate that you guys got to go through this kind of crap, but that's what we pay you for, right?
Right. To that end, I just
that's what's in the barrels.
The agreement is that barrels of liquid are exterior to the buildings have to be removed within 30 days of approval of any settlement.
Wait a minute. Say that again slower so I can comprehend.
All barrels of liquid exterior to the buildings at 410 Sheridan Road must be removed within 30 days of approval of any settlement. And then any hazardous materials, petroleum, or other spills must be safeguarded in accord with the Wisconsin DNR standards and requirements at the expense of Lincoln Jensen. So that goes to what you're
I'm very satisfied with that. Thank you for bringing that up. That's all I have at this time, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, guys.
Monica, Jeff, moving on down the line. Jeff?
Yeah. So just to piggyback on what was just said about the DNR, is the health department involved at all overseeing, or any other? It's a combination of questions that I have. Health department, DNR, permits that they may have, are they up to date, that they may need for whatever businesses they're running? Are you familiar with any of that? Because
well,
I believe there's more than one business being operated out of that property, correct?
Honestly, I don't know. We tried to make contact with the actual occupant, I think, is Rodney Jensen. That's her son. Opal, I think, lives in Florida.
Well, that was going to be one of my other questions. Where do the owners live?
She's on the deed. She lives in Florida.
How about this other person you just
mentioned?
Rodney Jensen. We believe he's the resident of Mount Pleasant or Racine.
So, okay.
And again, with that piece of this puzzle.
Okay, kids.
Local.
Okay, so I'm going somewhere. Are you guys familiar with this place at all?
Yeah, well, I mean, we know.
As it relates to calls for service?
No.
Okay.
It's not the vibes.
All right. Okay. That's all I have. That's it. Thanks.
Sure. John, you have the floor.
Thank you. Escrow, what does that mean?
So they are going to have to place essentially in a trust fund with, I believe, their attorney.
Well, it has to be an approved and acceptable depository from our perspective.
Right, yeah.
So we're going to name a person that's going to safeguard that fund and use it to pay the taxes on time going forward as long as that $25,000 holds out.
Okay.
If they don't pay their taxes on time, then at our sole discretion, we can take money from that account to pay those taxes.
On that same subject of accountability, what are the mechanisms through which we check back in and say, wait, you know, what did you do with your barrels, and are your things up to code?
Yeah, I think we'd have to monitor the situation. They have 30 days for the new barrels, so we'd have to make a site visit and determine if they comply.
And that would be you doing it, or someone in the department?
I think a department, yeah, planning and development.
Okay, thank you. I was just curious on that count. The other thing I was curious about is, you said that it's a very peculiar situation, obviously, but that you didn't want to make a precedent out of it regarding that. And I'm just curious, is there a negative to, like, if someone whose property has been taken through tax deed says, hey, I'll pay you back for all the delinquent taxes, but I want the house back, is that a bad thing?
So, interesting question. As members of this body know, we, a couple of years ago, actually passed an ordinance that permits that with the approval of the board for homestead property. So if it's a property that someone has lived in and lost to tax deed, and then is able to make the county whole, the board has the option to return that property. We specifically accepted commercial properties like this in part because we don't want to be in a position where people, for a lack of a better term, game the system, don't pay their taxes when they're due, wait until the property has been taken, and then all of a sudden are able to come up with money to get it back. That we don't think that sets a good precedent. We don't think it's good public policy. We don't think it is fair to the vast majority of property owners who pay their taxes on time when they're supposed to.
Sure. And I love mysterious barrels of liquid must be removed within 30 days of a settlement. That is hilarious to me. Thank you. That's all.
Fair enough. I had a question. What is the order in which this will happen? Do we get a check for the money and the escrow and then the property is turned over, or is the property turned over and then it's going to happen because they've already set a clear path of not doing what they're supposed to be doing?
I think if the settlement is approved here, they have the obligation of meeting the financial requirements before it's going to get turned over in terms of the deed.
Okay.
Supervisor Franco, you have the floor.
Yeah, I was just curious, what possible justification does Ms. Jensen have to sue the county for requiring her to appropriately pay her back taxes?
Because
she's curious. Other than because she can?
I wish I could give you a good answer. There's just been a very litigious individuals. Like I said, the first argument was a notice argument, which was frankly borderline frivolous because we did everything the way that we always have done. The fact that they may have moved someplace and not told us, you know, that this is the new mailing address is not certainly not on the county. So I wish I could give you a good
it
answer.
It certainly seems frivolous to me. So even if it went to lawsuit, I can't imagine her winning.
That piece of it was ultimately decided by the court. They dismissed
that. So. But then they pursued an argument on equity, saying it's unfair to a homeowner who has built up time and equity in a property, the property value has risen, for the county to be unjustly enriched by keeping the surplusage from the tax sale above and beyond what they owed. That became their argument, and it failed at the circuit court level.
I can't understand how it did.
And then
fail.
They took it up on appeal, and there it is.
Okay.
Still pending.
Yeah.
Supervisor Palmer.
So if this passes this evening and passes next Tuesday for the county board, what's the process and timeline for this moving forward for us or for her?
I would anticipate that the next steps would be that we would then enter into the settlement agreement with the prior owner. We've been working with the attorneys that that Racine County has been working with as well. So in combination with them, I imagine we would make sure that settlement agreement is entered into, is provided to the court, so that there's also some court oversight and supervision. And then as indicated, certainly we would expect them to meet their obligations before we would transfer the property back.
So what kind of timeline do they have to come up with the $81,000? Like how
short timeline? They have to dismiss the appeal and they have to come up with that. I don't know exactly what the parameters would be on the timeline of payment, but I would think it would be somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 days from the date of settlement once it's approved.
Thank you.
Okay. So my turn, and then we'll go to Supervisor Berg, then back around the horn. Number one, I would think that our timeline on when we get the money and when this proceeds is when they close on their property in Mount Pleasant. What is the information on that? Because they're not going to be paying us until they get the money from that. Otherwise, they would have been paying us all along.
Well, let me just point out, when this lawsuit was pending, they put $60,000 in deposit with the clerk of circuit court and tried to pay that way, just for the taxes at that
time. Even before their property sold in Mount Pleasant.
Well, right, well, this was pending.
So they had the money already.
Okay. See, it sounds like they're buying time for something.
Well, that's good to know.
So they're 75% of the way there, you know.
Yeah, my first gut reaction when I heard this, when I was talking to Patty, was, oh, absolutely not. And then I dove into it, and I'm like, well, all right, that sounds like a good idea for the county, and that's good. I don't ever like to buy my way out of a lawsuit that I think we can win. That, to me, is just not good business. That being said, I also believe in them making us whole for every penny and escrowing $25,000 is good business. So, I mean, we really need to move forward on this. But I love the questions by the committee, and they were all what I had written down. So I'm just going to drill down on them. I'm just going to open up a few extra barrels for myself, and then we're going to go on.
But
are they barrels of
well, it's a liquid that we might find in the Fox River. So I'm concerned about that.
For whatever it's worth, Mr. Chairman, I will tell you and the rest of the committee, I believe your reaction or your first reaction was exactly the same as Attorney Moyer's and mine when the proposal first came to us. And it took a little bit of internal deliberation before we found our way to saying, yes, this really probably is in the best interest of the county ultimately. But it was not something we were excited about.
Right. And so, I mean, we need to, I think there have been multiple questions on timelines and mechanisms and, I mean, before this is a situation that we have to do our due diligence before that goes back, because once it goes back, we can't go back and say, "Oops, we should have done this." So, I mean, checking where the barrels go, checking that the barrels are gone, making sure every entity that is owed money is paid, make sure the escrow is set up before we give this back to them. I mean, and I know that I'm preaching to the choir. You guys aren't but that's what concerns me, is that we have a little foo-pah going forward, and then they have a reason to sue us, or we let some loophole slip, and they're not on the hook for the money. So that's what concerns me. I mean, I as long as they're going to hold the money in escrow and make everybody whole for all of this, I don't see a problem with it, but we need to make sure that our I's are dotted and our T's are crossed as we go through that process. So that's my take on it. Supervisor Burt, and then we'll start around the horn again. We'll stay here all night. I'm having fun.
Yeah, back on the barrels. That was my original question, was the 30 days. You know, how do we know what happened after those 30 days, if they took them off or not? Are we going to have a walk around? Do we have the right to have a walk around the property to check it out and make sure that the barrels were gone, but also it was brought off if there's any spillages that it's removed properly? If we're allowing them to remove them, do we have the right to ask for a paper trail, kind of like an evidence tag? Are we able to see who picked it up, where it went to, this and that, to make sure that it was properly disposed of and not poured into a ditch?
I would believe that we absolutely have that right.
Okay, so I mean, is that something that needs to be spelled out, written out in what you have there?
Yes.
Okay. The other question I had was, Mr. Cardamone, you brought up 5 years for escrow, and the resolution it says 4 years.
That's because they use a number of 25,000, and they're just trying to figure 4, 5, 6 years. Yeah. It's $25,000 more so than the years.
Okay. Yeah. My recollection is that the average taxes on the property were a little bit more than $5,000 a year. So you know, somewhere between the next 4 and 5 years are covered.
Sure, and that's going to change based on property value.
Yeah.
Supervisor Frederick, did you have?
I had a few things written down. Most of them got answered. I just like to make one final remark before I vote. It's so much for a short meeting next Tuesday. That's all I'm going to say.
Supervisor Juhas,
my questions were answered.
Okay. Supervisor,
what was the name of the son again, please?
Rodney.
Rodney?
Rodney Jensen.
Okay, thank you.
Moving around, Supervisor Franco, you have the floor.
Yeah, I am willing to support this if it You say it's good for the county. It seems like it is, but I am really reluctant. This really burns me up, frankly, especially finding out that they had the money anyway. You know, it's one thing to not have the money, be in a situation where, you know, life happens and they don't have it. I'm willing to be understanding about that, but it sounded like they always have the money to pay their taxes. They just chose not to, and I really find that problematic. And you pointed out, you know, we're rewarding bad behavior because they're gaming the system, the legal system. Be that as it may, if this is ultimately going to be good for the county, I'm willing to support it, but very reluctantly, I must admit.
I'll simply say I understand. We wouldn't be recommending it if we didn't think it was ultimately in the best interest of the county, but again, I absolutely understand the remarks and the sentiment behind them.
Any other questions or comments? Yeah, it is good for the county. I mean, ultimately, they're going to clean up all the money they owe. They're going to escrow money, so they're not going to pull this in the immediate future. Plus, Summers is going to force them to clean up the property. And we're going to get it back on the tax rolls in a better position than when it left the tax roll. So ultimately, it is a good thing, but it is interesting, and they're going to end up paying a lot because they played this little game. They're going to end up paying a lot. So, I mean, at the end of the day, the county's better off, and this is something that we should do. John?
Yeah, so kind of. On that note, I assume you think that the punitive measures being taken against them will dissuade others from trying a similar thing in the future with malintent?
They don't know. They can't make that statement. We don't know that.
My fervent hope.
But you don't. But I guess I ask, do you think that there's not enough of a risk of that because this is so specific and because there's measures? Okay. Thank you.
There's zero risk for 4¾ years.
Yeah.
After that, we can say nothing. We know nothing. We're Sergeant Schultz. I mean, at that point, anything can happen. Moving on, any other questions or comments on this item from the committee or anybody?
I will approve.
Supervisor Berg, your daughter have a question? No? Okay. All right. It's been moved by Supervisor Frederick, seconded by Supervisor Kubicki. Last chance for any questions or comments. Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you, Director.
Audit of bills is done. Clara, you have a report on HR?
I've never seen one like that.
Good evening, Chairman and members of the committee and Youth in Governance. I will also add it's been a pleasure, the two of you and your contributions. Great job. You represent your generation well. Just very briefly wanted to share with the committee that we have an accepted offer for an EDI coordinator. Kelsey Hubler will start April 25th. She brings to us an MBA in HR. She's worked for a company called Aerotech in an HR capacity, including 3 years in an EDI function and capacity. So we're excited to bring her on board and know she will be a valued member of our team. She's also a native Kenosha.
Okay, anything else for your report?
No, just wanted to share that.
Does that have to pass the board?
No, I just wanted to share with all of you. Okay. I know there was interest in that.
I wish it did. That being said, I have done some legwork on her, and I think she will be a good candidate. So I will not make the mistake of not looking at who we hire in the future. I've been burned a couple of times by not paying close enough attention. But this one, I have checked, and I do hear positive things, so I do think you're right. I think while I might not be rah-rah in favor of the position, I think she'll do a good job. That being said, thank you for your report. Any other reports from Finance or Administration? Are you sure? Are you positive? We could stay longer. All right.
This is the last one. This is the last
one. I know. I'm trying to milk it. That's why I went around three times for questions. Okay, can I have a motion to adjourn? It's been moved by Supervisor Kubicki, seconded by Supervisor Pommaville to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Can we get a picture afterwards? Seriously?
Sure.